All right, we are recording, right?
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Last time I didn't get it on here, so I had to redo it. It's no fun redoing it in your office. Welcome, everybody, to Hebrew Club Summer Session. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we are a little more than halfway through, actually. We got through verse 36, and we're at verse 37. And if you'll remember, the narrative stopped at a rather interesting place. We still have unresolved this thing of Jonathan disobeying the command of his father not to eat anything all day till he could take out his vengeance on all his enemies. And remember, Jonathan had dipped his staff into the honey and put it to his mouth. And so that hasn't been resolved. In the meantime, though, we had the incident in which the people were so hungry that they fell on the spoil and ate the meat with the blood still on it. You know, it's like they slaughtered them right on the ground so that the meat sat in the blood against the command of the Lord. So in order to rectify that, remember, Saul ordered a large stone to be brought and the people were to sacrifice and eat the meat there. All right. Then following that, Saul built an altar, it says in verse 35. There's no comment on whether he was supposed to do that or not at this point. And then he comes up with this idea, if you'll remember, to go attack the Philistines at night and plunder them all the way until the morning. See, he was pretty confident. That is where we left it off in verse 36. The people said, whatever is good in your eyes, you go ahead and do it. And at the end of verse 36, you have that Vayomer HaKohen. Then the priest said, Nikrava, let us draw near here to HaElohim. Let's draw near to God. In other words, let's ask God about this. All right, let's consult him and see if this is a good idea or not. All right. And so verse 37 picks up what happens. It's rather interesting here. So verse 37, Vayishal Shaul Belohim. Then Saul consulted God. Notice that Sha'al means to ask, and when it's used in combination with the bait, it's a very common idiom for to consult God or to consult some other deity if you're a pagan. So here, Saul consulted God. And, you know, if we know kind of any background, it's perhaps that he used the Urim and the Thummim, remember, of the high priest. If you will recall, those were very often used to divine what God's will was. And whether they were stones or sticks that they would throw, you know, the cast lot kind of fashion, no one really knows what they were. But to consult God very often is used in connection with the Urim and Thummim. Alright? So anyway, Saul consulted God, and now here's the question. Ha'ere achare Pelishtim. Should I go down after the Philistines? That ha-e-raid, what's the root? Anyone see it?
Yarad.
It's from Yarad, and it's a call imperfect, first common singular. What's the hey doing there?
Interrogative.
Interrogative hey, very good, yeah. So he's simply asking, so really Saul asked God, should I go down after the Philistines? Now he asks another question. Ha-tithnem be-yad Yisrael. Will you put them into the hand of Israel? That tit name is from Natan, simply to give, to put, to place, call imperfect. Okay, so will you put them into the hand of Israel? Below anan. Now notice what happens here. Below anahu bayom hahu. What's the root of anahu? It's kind of a little trickier. Anahu. It's a very common word. You all know it. Anahu means it's from ana. Ein nun he means to answer. What you have here is a call, third masculine singular perfect with a third masculine singular suffix. But he did not answer him by yom hahu on that day or at that time. Alright? So I don't know what that means because we just don't know the procedure. But God wasn't talking. It's a dropped call on the singular cell line, see, right, at the crucial time. Saul knows something's up. Any questions about verse 37? All right, here's what happens now. Saul realizes something ain't right here. Vayomer Shaul, Goshu halom kol pinot ha'am. Then Saul said, Goshu. Notice as soon as you see something like this, you're thinking that there's a dropped root letter. And indeed there is. It's a nun. This is a common word, not gosh. And it's a call imperative, which means to come closer, to approach. Hey, Beth, could you just take those glass jars off that? I think that'll stop the rattle. So there's a call. That's a call imperative. And he's talking to Kol Pinot Ha'am. So it's really, Saul said, come halom, come here. Halom is just an adverb. Come here, Kol Pinot. This is kind of a figurative expression. Pinot is the plural from the noun pina. Pina means a corner. Okay? So it's like the corner of a house or the corner of something. And so here it's used kind of figuratively for leaders. All right, we would say the pillars of the church. We're doing the same kind of thing with pillars. So here, come here, all you leaders of the people. Okay? For you guys who just came in, we're on 1 Samuel 14, and we're just ready to, we're in the middle of verse 38. So Saul said, come here, all you leaders, pinot, of the people. Okay? Now two more imperatives follow. Uda'u. Ure'u bama hayata hachatat hazot hayom. Ude'u. Imperative from what root? Yada, to know, call imperative. Followed by re'u. What's the root? Ra'a, another call imperative. Notice that the first one's the first yud, so the root letter drops out at the beginning of the word. The second one's the third hey, the root drops out at the end. So you see two root letters, but the missing root letter depends on which side of the verb you start from, I suppose. All right, but they're very common words, so really not that hard to figure out what the root is. So notice it says, come here all you leaders of the people, and da'u, know, namely, investigate, I would think would be a better English word. Investigate and literally see and find out ba'ma. Okay, literally in what, but very often it's used to mean how. Okay, how hayata? How was hachatat hazot? How was this sin? Or how did this sin happen hayom, today? Okay, so he's kind of already interpreting the silence as an indication that someone had done something wrong, see, in this great victory. How did this sin happen today? All right. Now notice Saul, his rashness begins to come out. It's very interesting what happens in the narrative in these next few verses as you begin to get a picture of Saul. All right. First of all, any questions on verse 38? Okay, verse 39. Here he continues talking. Ki Yahweh HaMoshiach et Yisrael. Okay, what you're going to see here is an example of an oath. Alright, an oath. And you'll notice there's a particular form. For Yahweh, as Yahweh lives. Or by the life of Yahweh, HaMoshiach. Okay, what's the root of HaMoshiach?
Yasha.
Notice it is a hiphil participle. And here the hey tells you that it's going to be used as a substantive. The one who saves, or the one who delivers. So, for by the life of Yahweh, the one who delivers Israel, okay, ki im yeshno, alright, even if, ki im, even if yeshno is the word yesh, there is, plus the third masculine singular suffix, even if it is Beyonatan in Jonathan Beni, my son. Even if it is in Jonathan, my son. So there's the first part of the oath. Okay? Kimot Yamut. Alright? That is surely. Now notice you have that followed by. You have the key followed by the infinitive absolute followed by the imperfect. So, even if it is in Jonathan, my son, ki, kind of, certainly, and then another certainly, he will most certainly die, yamut. See, so you have the ki kind of as an asseverative, plus the infinitive absolute strengthening his conviction to what he's saying. So it's almost kind of like to say it as strongly as possible. See, so by the life of Yahweh who delivers Israel, even if it is in Jonathan my son, he will surely, most certainly, Yamut, die. Alright? So notice Saul's rashness here in making this oath. Now, notice the reaction of the people. Ve'ein onehu mikol ha'am. Notice that ein is the negative used with non-finite verbs. So when you get to onehu, what's the root? Ana. Now, what's the parsing? What's the conjugation? An aspect?
Called
parsable from ana. Notice, remember we had the perfect in verse 37. Anahu. Here, it's the participle. From oneth. If without the third masculine singular suffix, it would be oneth. But here it is. And no one from all the people answered him. See? No one answered. There's this eerie silence. Why? Because they all knew. See, note it, remember from the previous text, they all knew what Jonathan had done because they had confronted him. And he said, look, my eyes are brightened up by eating this. So you can imagine the lump. I'm just imagining the, oh my God, what's gonna happen now? The irony is so thick you can cut it with a knife, really. All right?
Is that the spelling parsable? I was thinking it should be from above.
Well, sometimes you have the colon in there, the full spelling, but it's not that uncommon just to find it like this. So it is a shortened spelling. In other words, you don't have the mater letter for the vowel. Right? And the connection is the seire, just as you might expect. The hey drops out and you get the who is actually a third masculine singular suffix. Okay? So verse 40, Vayomer el kol Yisrael, and he said to all Israel. Okay? He has this great idea. It's like maybe the silence was telling him something. I don't know. But anyway, Atem tihyu le'ever echad, va'ani ve'yonatan b'ni nihya le'ever echad. Okay. You, so he says to all of Israel, you, tihya, you be le'ever echad, on one side. Ever is side. Okay, so tihyu is from haya, simple calling, perfect, third, plural. You be le'ever echad. You be on one side. Vani ve'yonatan, and me and Jonathan, Beni, my son. Notice he doesn't. Notice that that's superfluous. Everyone knows that Jonathan is his son. So why does Saul repeat it? See, notice that it's emphasized. The relationship here comes clean. My son, and he says it. The previous verse too. He doesn't just say even if it is Jonathan. He says Jonathan, my son. Okay. So again. That the relationship between them is being emphasized. That, you know, you can imagine then the closeness that they have, or how he held Jonathan in high esteem. So, me and Jonathan, my son, Nitya, we will be, that's just the first common plural from Haya, imperfect again, we will be le'ever echad, on the other side. So, I don't know, maybe he drew a line in the sand, said, all the troops on one side, me and Jonathan on the other side. Now, I guess Am here throughout should be translated as troops, okay, because that's who was with Saul. Vayomru ha'am el Sha'ul. And all the troops, then the troops said to Saul, Hatov, that which is good, ve'eneka, in your eyes, aseh, do. All imperative must, okay? So notice they didn't really argue much with Saul. They just said, do what's good in your eyes. Do what's good in your eyes. This is the second time we've seen it here. Okay, verse 41. Vayomer Shaul el Yahweh Elohe Yisrael Havatamin. Then Saul said to the Lord, the God of Israel, Havatamin. The Hava is actually a call, a tipil imperative. No, it's a call imperative actually from Yahav. Okay? It's kind of a defective form, a strange form, and there's the hey at the end of it. Is one of those hays that you often see when something is said in the interest of the speaker or done with the speaker's perspective in mind. So hava, you'll see hav and hava for give. It's a synonym for natan. Okay? So it's, and tamim means blameless or perfect. So it literally is kind of like give perfection, give perfect. But I think it means, you know, give a correct answer, give the right answer. See, answer clearly or something like that. Havatamim, you'll see it translated different ways, like answer clearly or something. Okay? Vayilakeid Yonatan v'Shaul v'Ha'am Yatzahu. Vayilakeid, notice that that's a nifal, vav consecutive imperfect from lakad. The comments under the lamed and the dagesh in the lamed preceded by the short vowel tells you it's a nifal. Jonathan and Saul is the subject. Notice it's compound subject, so the verb is singular. Jonathan and Saul were taken. So evidently, they cast lots or consulted the Urim and Thummim again. I think it's cast lots because of what comes in a few verses. So maybe that indicates that they did something with the stones. So Jonathan and Saul were taken. So evidently, you know, the snake eyes turned up when they rolled for them. I don't know. V'ha'am yatsa. And so the people, went out. People were excluded, we'd probably say. Now what would be a better way to say that? The people were, they were off the hook. That's not the best way to put it, but... Yeah, see, the people were cleared, that's it. The people were cleared. See, so he knew that it wasn't any of the troops. The troops were cleared. So they had all obeyed him. Alright? Verse 42. Vayomer Shaul, then Saul said, Ha pilu beini u bein Yonatan beini. Then Saul said, Ha pilu. What's the root? Nafal. Good, it's Nafal. And here it's a Hiphil imperative from Nafal. So nafal means to fall in the hip field, cause to fall. But here in this context, throw. And notice it doesn't have the object. But this is the word very often used to throw the lots, cast the lots. So cast, beni uvein Yonatan, my beni. Cast between me and Jonathan, and there it is again, Jonathan, my son. Okay? So evidently it involved some, you know, throwing something and whatever came up. You could make the decision. Maybe one chose red and one chose white or red. I don't know, or blue, something like that. Okay? Now here's what happens. Vayilakeid Yonatan. And Jonathan was taken, as you know, as you would expect. Okay? Any question about 42? Okay. Here's verse 43. Saul, man oh man. After that, my son, my son, my son stuff. This is shocking. Vayomer Shaul el Yonatan. Then Saul said to Yonatan, Hagida li ma'asita. Tell me, what have you done? Hagida is from Nagad. Notice it's a hiphil, imperative. That's a common word to report. Okay. Notice there's a hey at the end. Tell me what asita you have done. Vayeged lo Yonatan. So Jonathan told him, Vayeged. Again, Hiphil imperfect, vav consecutive from Nagad. So Jonathan told him. Vayomer, and he said, Ataom, ta'amti b'kitse ha'matzeh asher b'yadi mehat devash hineni amut. And he said, Ataom, ta'amti. Ta'am means to taste. So ta'om, notice, is a call, infinitive absolute, followed by the finite verb of the same root. And he said, I did indeed taste. Notice that I think the ta'om, again, functions to strengthen the conviction, the strength with which Jonathan affirms the action. I did indeed taste. See, it's not like he tasted big time. It's his conviction that he's expressing. I certainly did taste, see. I did too taste, even though, opposite assertion may be out there in Saul's mind. No, you didn't do this. He's affirming that he did. I did two tastes. Bikitse hamateh. With the end of the staff, or my staff, which was beyadi, in my hand, a me'at, a taste, or a little bit of a devash of honey. Okay? Hineni amut. Look, I was about to die. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong portion. Look, You could do it a couple ways. Look, I should die. So you could do it a statement like this. Behold, here I am, I should die. Okay? Now, whether he's being sarcastic, some translations make it a question. Look, should I die? Namely, should I die for doing this? All right, so you'll see translations translated as a question. And again, it depends on how you are interpreting the force of what he's saying. Okay? Okay, any questions about 43? Now let's see what Saul says, if it's a question. Or how does he react to Jonathan's assertion? Vayomer Shaul, then Saul said, here's another oath that he's making. Ko ya'aseh Elohim, thus may God do. The ko yosif, and thus may he add. That's a hifil from yasah. So notice, a lot of people suggest that there is some gesture connected with what Saul is doing. Whether it is or not, I don't know, like a cutting of the throat or something like that. We don't know what it is. But anyway, this is a very common formula for an oath. Thus may God do, and thus may he add, okay, ki mot hamut yo natan. Now notice in oath clauses, a ki is equivalent to im lo. Okay, so thus may God do, and thus may he add, if Jonathan does not certainly die. Some translations will turn that around and translate it like this. Thus may God do, and thus may he add, surely you will certainly die, O Jonathan. And I'm sorry, it's second person, so he's talking to Jonathan. See, so notice he's willing to take the life of his own son for the sake of the oath. All right, now what's going on behind this as a reader, you're saying, there's something right about Saul. Kind of implied, you know, because no, we'll see what happens next. Okay, any questions about that oath clause? But notice you have, this is the standard, thus may God do, and thus may he add to do. Okay? And then you have a key or a heen low or something like that. Surely you will die, John. Now verse 45, we'll see what happens, and we'll end here. Vayomer ha'am el Sha'ul. Then the people said to Saul, Ha Yonatan Yamut? Shall Jonathan die? Okay. Asher Asa Ha Yeshua HaGedolah HaZot, who performed Ha Yeshua HaGedolah, this great deliverance to Israel in Israel? Remember, he was the one who crossed over with his weapon bearer and defeated the garrison of the Philistines. And so the people are saying, you know, are you going to put to death the very one who carried out this great victory in Israel? Chalila. Here's kind of that negative, may genitoy, may it not be. Far be it, may it not be so. Chalila. Now they have their own oath. Chai Yahweh, im yipol misa'arat rosho. By the life of Yahweh. Im, again, has the, in oaths, has this opposite. It means surely not. Surely not, yipol, will fall. So surely will not fall, misa'arat rosh, from the hair of his head to the ground. Okay? Ki im Elohim asahayom hazeh. For with Yahweh, I'm sorry, for with God, he has acted today, on this day. Okay? So he has acted with God today. Vayifdu. What's the root of Vayifdu? Anyone know? It's from Pada. It means to redeem. Pada is equivalent to Ga'al, to redeem. So you'll see both of them in context like that, like this. And so Ha'am, the troops, rescued Jonathan. Velomate. That's a call, perfect third masculine singular from Moot. And he did not die. Okay, so notice the relationship between Saul and the troops undergoes an interesting change, because before they'd always said, do what is good in your eyes, go ahead and do it. And here, the people, the troops actually, you know, you can see that it's almost mutiny. You're not going to harm a hair on his head. And so you're getting a different kind of picture of Saul. Before, he's always been kind of pictured as kind of dim-witted. Remember, he was hiding when they wanted to make him king. He didn't know who the prophet was when he was looking for his lost donkeys. I mean, it's kind of right from the start. Here you see a little more ominous picture to Saul's stubbornness and rashness in this whole event. Okay? Good, so we'll stop there for today, and we will continue then with verse 46 next Thursday. Thank you very much.